open up with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that we can come here and examine your word. I pray, as has already been prayed, that what your heart in sharing these words with us, that as I speak, that those words from you would be clear to both myself and to those around me, Lord. That you would speak to each heart as there is need, and that you would convict hearts as you desire. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. In the Christian life, there's a lot of times where there's fluctuations, if you'll allow me, to sometimes where you're closer to the Lord, sometimes where the fellowship is not so close. And in this passage I'm going to share, this is specifically talking about Jesus' words towards Christians. And this has been a challenge to me, something that I wish to put into practice. And so I started studying this because this is what I desired. So hopefully this will ring true with some of you guys as well. If you'll turn to John chapter 15. And Jesus right here is speaking, and he says, starting in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. My heart's desire, not only for myself, but for each one of us as Christians, is to know the Lord, to abide with him, to fellowship with him. And throughout the Christian life, I've noticed a direct correlation between how much time I spend with the Lord, whether it be in prayer, in thinking about what may be on the Lord's heart, or in reading God's Word. I see a direct correlation between that amount of time with how my life is as a result. And in this passage, it talks about two groups of believers. One group is those who abide with Christ, who walk in fellowship with him, abide, to almost like living with, to spend time with, to think on him. And those who do not, who spend their time, as it were, far from him. And though even though being bought by his blood, yet their thoughts are not of him. They live day to day just for self. Speaking first of that second group, the one who does not abide in Christ, verse 4 says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The first thing that the group that does not abide in Christ has is that it cannot bear fruit. To me, that was actually a rather ironic revelation. Though obvious, if you are not abiding in Christ, even as a Christian, you and your natural self are unable to do any truly good deed. And the reason is because any good work has as its source Christ Jesus and through the Holy Spirit's work inside of us. And so if we are not abiding in Christ, it's impossible for us to do what is right, what is good. And often maybe even you find that certain sins are more prevalent in your life when you are not walking close with Christ. I have found this to be the case for myself. But also in verse 5, it goes on, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The Bible goes a step farther to say that you cannot do anything really, anything of value, anything really truly good and right without Christ. But it goes further to give a rather frightening warning for the Christian who does not abide in Christ. It says in verse 6 that this person will be cast out, that their branch would be withered, and that even they would be thrown into the fire. This portion of Scripture was a little tricky for me. There's different people have come to different viewpoints on this. But as I was looking, I believe this to be speaking of Christians because of just the context of the verses and what Christ is talking about, and also some similar passages that I'll share with you. These people that do not abide in Christ, it's important to note, they are still part of the true vine. Part of Christ is the true vine, and all the wonderful nutrients from the roots are still flowing up towards each of those branches equally, whether it be the ones who abide in him or the ones who do not abide in him. And yet these people who have all the resources that Christ gives them, they have God's Word, they have the Holy Spirit inside of them, and they have the love of Christ on their life, yet they choose to not seek after the Lord in their thoughts, in their life, in their desires. And so indeed, it's almost as if they are taking up space, as it were, in the body of Christ. We are described as the temple of Christ, as each person has a part in building up a big building, as it were. Well, if one brick in that building were weak, what would that do to the integrity of the entire structure? And if I am that brick who is weak, who is not abiding in Christ, then I am impacting the whole structure of the body of Christ negatively. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15 says this, if anyone's works which he has built on it, that is on a foundation, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Those branches that first were cast off, then withered, and then were burned. This is the Christian who hadn't built up on the foundation wood, hay, and stubble. At the end, all of those works, because they were not done for Christ, were burned. And so even though that foundation was strong because it was based on Christ, yet he himself will suffer loss because there's no real value to his life. All he has is that firm foundation, which is indeed is enough to get him to heaven. But who wants to go through life with all the wonderful benefits that Christ gives us and all the promises, all the hope, all the joy, and not take part in what Christ has for us in our life? And this really rang true with my desire. If you go down to 1 John and chapter 2 and 28 and 29, my dad often reminded us as kids that his desire that when he died, that he'd be able to say, that God would be able to say to him, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. And I hope that my life is worth living. I hope that what I use my life is for Christ, and that it would be a worthwhile life, that Christ can say one day, well done. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28 says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. I do not want to be ashamed when Christ comes. An example of those who do not abide in Christ perhaps could be Ananias and Sapphira in the Bible. These are two people who were misrepresenting Christ's name by their disobedience against the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord chose to take them and take them out of the way because they were defaming the name of Christ before all those around. I hope to be and to remain in the group that abides instead. Again, abide is to dwell with Christ, to fellowship with him, to think on him. And verse 4 back in John 15 says that abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If we abide in Christ, the result is that we will bear fruit. And once again, that bearing of fruit is impossible without Christ. If we want to do what is right, if we want to live a life worth living for Christ, it's not the seeking after the works, it's not the striving of ourselves to try to do better. It's the seeking after Christ that really makes the difference. Because it's Christ whose Spirit inside of us, Holy Spirit inside of us, produces good works, produces good fruits in our lives. And down to verse 8, beyond the fact that Christ enables us to have these good fruits, he even promises us good fruits, that we'll bear even much good fruits if we abide in him. But in verse 8 we see that by this my Father is glorified. When talking of the desire of God regarding this passage, the desire of God is that each one of us bear much good fruit. And wherever that is in your life and mine, whether that is at home, taking care of my family, spending time with my son and teaching him about Christ, even to some, what we would sometimes look at as being renowned act, missionary or whatever, it doesn't matter. Wherever Christ has you, he is able to produce much fruit in you, and he is pleased by that. And so if we do desire to bear much fruit, if we desire to bear good fruit, that is a desire that is pleasing to the Lord, because the ultimate result of us doing what is right and good for is that it pleases the Lord and it accomplishes the purposes that he has set forth. We are doing the good works that Christ has set forth before us, that we should walk in them. But if you go back to verse 2, you can see how this happens, how God himself, even as the vine dresser, produces fruit in us through pruning. Whether that be the gentle pruning, the helping us along, the encouragement, the mercy, as it were, that we know we don't deserve, or the even sometimes a little more painful pruning, the cutting off the pieces, the things that are keeping us from walking close with Christ, whatever that may be in our life, whether it be some certain sin we are holding on to, or whether it be even some idol we have made, anything it may be that's keeping us from Christ, God is working a change in us. And as Christ and the nutrients from him and the Spirit build us up, God the Father takes and prunes off so that we can flourish even more. And if you return to that verse in 1 John, where it talked about the confidence, that is the result of us choosing to abide in Christ, is that we can walk as Christians in confidence before the Father, not in ourselves. And you remember how none of this was of us? Because when we are on our own, even in Christ, when we are not abiding in him, you can do nothing. But in Christ, you will bear fruit. And so we can stand in confidence before the Father, because we are walking in His will. And if you move one book back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the end of that chapter says in verse 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God." That is the ultimate result of Christ pruning and us and Christ bearing fruit in our lives, is that we would be transformed into the image of Christ and take on, as it were, His glory and His beauty. And ultimately, one day, when we get to heaven, we will be much like Him. It's hard being in this body of sin. But if our focus is no longer on ourselves, is no longer even on so much about what we do, the mistakes we make, but is instead on Christ, is instead on spending time with Him, fellowshipping with Him, thinking about how good He is, how wonderful He is, then truly, as we abide in Him, the work will be not of us. We almost may not know what's happening, because He will start to work a change in us, and He will even speak through us things that we did not know we were able to say. That's where all the gifts of the Holy Spirit come from His Spirit, not from us, not from our talents and abilities. And I hope that each of us, as this we're starting a new year, that we can face this coming year purposing to put Christ as the forefront of our lives, to seek to abide in Him and with Him, spend time with Him. And now, as our focus is prayer this year, it's a perfect way to begin. But I hope that each of us can be this way, and that one day, I know we all hope to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If we can close in a word of prayer. Father, we love You. We think of Your holiness and Your purity, and we want to meditate on You. We want to be like You. We want to produce these good fruits that we have seen in You. We want others to see them so that You would be glorified. We fall short so often, Father, and we wish to heed the warnings of Scripture. We do not want to be like those who do not abide. We pray that as we seek to follow after You, that You would show us the way, that we would be able to abide in You. We love You, Lord. Keep all of us safe as we go forth from here. In Jesus' name, amen.